Okay, well, yeah, it's today we're looking at Luke chapter 1, this song of Mary that we've just read. And Luke has started his account of his two-volume work, because Luke wrote Luke, the book of Luke and the book of Acts, to a guy called Theophilus, and he also wrote it to us. That, and in verse 1, or therefore verse 1 of chapter 1, he's said, "I've written this so that we may be, concerning the things fulfilled among us," and in verse 4, "that we may know the certainty of those things in which we were instructed." So Luke is writing these things today that we're looking at to tell us, yeah, you can be sure, you can be certain of the things fulfilled among us. What was he talking about? He's talking about the things concerning Jesus, of whom he is writing, that we may be certain of those things. Because we are not coming along here today listening to some old guy up the front telling his ideas. No, we're looking at what God's great plan is for humanity, for all people, for all generations, for all cultures, for all nations. And that is to bring a people to himself that would otherwise be alienated and condemned before him. And so Mary, having heard of these things fulfilled in her, that she's bearing a son whose kingdom is never going to end. It's great. It's like massive words, isn't it, of promise to her. And she's like, well, how can this be? But she believed the word of God, that the one in her was the Christ, was the Messiah. And so she sings these words from verse 46. And I've taken up three words that I want to focus on today. Maybe I should have had the overhead projector on, but there's just three words. Mindful, mighty, and merciful. Mindful of his servant. That's what God is. God is thoughtful, or he has looked upon with favour upon his servant. That's in our translation here today, it is, he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. He has regarded, or he's been mindful of, he has thought of the lowly state of his servant. And he is mighty in Acts, verse 49. He's mighty in the great things that he has done. And verse 50, he is merciful in his promises. So we've got those three words: mindful, mighty, and merciful. And unfortunately, I'm on holiday, so I don't wear a watch, but there is a clock up the back, so I'll try and keep my eye on that. But if you start walking out, I'll stop. Okay, we've got three words: mindful. Mindful of the humble state of his servant. Mary comes to this whole song with a great understanding of her unworthiness before God. But she is a lowly person. Now, you could say, yeah, she is a lowly person. She's a lowly person in the community because she's a single mum-to-be. She's not yet married. The guy she was married, is betrothed to, is just a carpenter, like he's a tradie. So, you know, like, that's me as well, I'm a tradesman. You know, we're not sort of born into royalty here. This is not Prince William and whatever his squeeze is, I can't remember her name. We're not what is it? Yeah, anyway, Meghan Markle, is that it? Yeah, anyway, I've probably got the... I've got them wrong. You know who you are talking about. This is not born in... You know, the Christ, God's King, is not born into the palace circles. He's born into a low... So it's true, Mary is of humble circumstances. But notice how... what the focus is on her humility. It's her humility before God that's on focus here. If you look back to verse 38, Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be according to your word." So she says, "I'm your servant, God." So her lowliness is all to do with how she sees herself before God. "I'm your humble servant, God. I believe your word, Lord. I believe," verse 45, "in your promises." She is trusting in the mighty one who's done great things for her in verse 49. She is the one who fears the Lord in verse 50, and she is the one in verse 52 who is humble before him. So her lowly estate is not the view is not because, oh, she's a poor person, which she is, but her lowly estate is got to do with how she sees herself before God. She's humble before God. She's the one who comes with nothing to offer God except trusting in his promises, trusting in his word. And God has not looked upon favour upon her because she is great in human terms. She is a humble servant, God's humble servant. And she is not considered by God with favour because somehow she is sinless. Because, as verse 47 says, she's rejoicing in God her Saviour. So some people in Christian circles see, oh no, Mary, she is blessed. All generations call her blessed. She is blessed, all right. But she's not blessed because she's sinless. She's blessed because she trusts in the promises of the Lord. She's blessed because she sees herself as lowly before God, her Saviour. So She's clearly not sinless in herself because she's rejoicing in the fact that God's her Saviour. And that's all she has got to go on with. A lowly state before God. And frankly, that's all we've got to go on with before God. A lowly state before God. Because guess what? I'm a wretched sinner in need of God's grace and mercy. I can't get myself or worm myself into God's good books because of any greatness I've done. Before God, I'm a lowly person in need of his forgiveness, in need of calling out and trusting in him as God my Saviour, just like Mary. And guess what? When we see ourselves like that, and when we trust the word of God, and when we trust the promises of God, and when we put our hope in God the Saviour, we too, like Mary, are blessed. God's not impressed with human greatness, as we see here. He's going to take down the high and the mighty. He's not impressed by human power. He's not moved into action by those who are popular in this world. He doesn't look down and go, oh, this person's got 5,000 Facebook followers and 10,000 Instagram likes or whatever they might have. Oh, I better have them on my side. No, he's not. He'll take the humble. He'll take the lowly. He'll take those who are poor in this world. He'll visit those who have nothing in this world. That's what he did he not? With the shepherds, as you'll see as we go through Luke. Out there, they weren't palace people. They were humble, they were lowly people in society's standard, but the Lord came to them and the Lord said, look, I've got great news. Good news of great joy for you and for all people. Today in this town, a Saviour has been born. That's what you're going to see as you continue through Luke's gospel, Luke's account. So yes, Jesus does come to the poor and the humble and the lowly. He's not acknowledging those who, or grabbing hold of those who are wealthy and those who are popular in today's standards. So God's mindful of Mary's humble estate. And you might feel that you're at the bottom of the pecking order in society, but there's one who loves you, and there's one who's mindful of your humble estate as well. Jesus, the one who came leaving behind heaven's splendour to come into this world, to humble himself even to the point of death on the cross for you and for me. Such great love. How deep the Father's love for us. And so we're called upon to trust in the word of God, to come to Jesus the Saviour, to hold on to his promises, and to exalt and magnify the Lord as Mary does in this song of praise. So God's mindful of her humble estate. Secondly, God is mighty in his acts to save. God is mighty in his actions to judge and to save, to bring down those who are proud and to restore those and lift up those who are lowly before him. Mary praises God in verses 49 and 51. 49, for the mighty one has done great things for me. God is mighty. He's regarded my lowly estate, but he's worked mightily in me. And has he not done a miracle in her to bring about the birth of God the Son inside of her? He's done mighty acts for me. Holy is his name. He's not like one of us. He's holy. He's distinct from us. He's pure. And yet, he's involved. He's done mighty work in me. And verse 51, he's performed mighty deeds with his arm. Notice here, this is the great reversal that I've spoken about before already as we introduce some of the songs. The great reversal of human pride brought low, of human rule and arrogance taken down, and of the humble lifted. God in his mighty power, and he has already done it, verse 51, scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He scattered them. And he's, verse 52, bringing down rulers from their thrones. Verse 53, sending the rich away empty. But, verse 52, lifting up the humble. Verse 53, filling the hungry with good things. It's a great reversal, isn't it? Of taking down human pride and arrogance, but lifting up the humble. Filling those, satisfying those who are hungry for God. And God has done it in the past. If we read through the pages of the Old Testament, we see time and time and time again that he has scattered those who are proud in their thinking. Scattering, pushing away from himself. Think of even back to Genesis chapter 3 when out of human pride and arrogance, Adam and Eve said, oh, guess what? God said this, but hey, we're going to do that. I'm going to take God's crown off my head, chuck it away and put my own crown on my own head. I'm the boss. I'll do what I want. Guess what happened? They were scattered. They were alienated. They were cast out from God's presence. That's the world in which we live now. A world that has taken God's crown off and stuck our own one on. And that's life in our broken world. And God has scattered the proud. Also think of the Tower of Babel, human pride. Let's build a city. Let's make a name great for ourselves. Let's make a security for ourselves. Push God out of the picture. Scattered. God did it there, in the confusion of their languages, so they couldn't even talk to each other. And off they went, away from each other. And there are many, many, many other occasions scattering, being alienated from God's presence. And that's what God is doing in judgment, but he's also gathering a people to himself, lifting up the humble, filling them, gathering them to himself, that we may not only know him and love him, but enjoy him. Enjoying God who created the universe. Enjoying God who made us, knowing him, loving him, enjoying him forever. And that's the great reversal of those who say, no, I'm the boss before God, ultimately to be alienated from his presence forever. But to those who are lowly before God, seeing their need, coming to him, being gathered to him, being filled and satisfied by him, enjoying him, even through the hard times of life, to know there's a God who loves you, a God who is mindful of you, the God who remembers you, a God who looks upon you, a God who knows you, a God who loves you. What a great reason to praise and magnify the Lord, for he has been mindful of our lowly estate and in his might has come down and has acted to save us. And he has done it in the very person that Mary is carrying. Jesus, God's Saviour. You will call him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. And he is not only the Saviour, he is the Lord. He is the King of Kings. His reign and his rule, as you saw last week, will never end. In keeping with his promise to David, King David, in 2 Samuel chapter 7, on one day there will be a king on your throne from your descendants who will reign forever and ever, and his kingdom will know no end. This is being fulfilled in Mary. And Luke writes of this that we may be certain of the things fulfilled. That we may be certain of Jesus, the Christ, the King, the Messiah. And we too are blessed, as Mary was, when we believe those things, the things being fulfilled. That's what Elizabeth said to Mary in the last verse of last week's reading. Blessed is she who believed, that's Mary, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told from her from the Lord. There's a fulfillment happening. God is acting to save. His rescuer, his Saviour, has come. And he has acted mightily in history, and he will act mightily in the Son of God, in Mary's, inside of Mary, to bring about the overthrow, the great reversal of evil, where one day Satan will be no more. And Jesus and his kingly rule will be seen for all of eternity as we will be brought into the new creation where there will be no tears, no crying, no death, no pain, no sickness. And we're already longing for that day, are we not? When that great reversal will be seen in all of its fullness by all of God's people. But those who are arrogant and pride and proud in their own position will be scattered. Well, finally, we see here that not only is Mary praising God for the fact that he is mindful of her lowly estate and he is mighty in his acts to save and to reverse. And just by the way, notice, she's speaking as if it's already happened. For he who is mighty has done. He has shown his strength. He has scattered the proud. He has put down the mighty, verse 52. He has filled the hungry, verse 53. Verse 54, he has helped his servant Israel. And he spoke. Like these things, she's speaking as if these things have already happened, and they have. God has scattered the proud. God has lifted up the lowly. He has gathered a people to himself. Remember Abraham? I'm going to make your name great. I'm going to bring you into the nation. You're going to be a blessing to the and all peoples of the world will be blessed through you. That's what happened. That's the promise to Abraham. Gathering. He's already done it. But Mary is praising God for what's inside of her, God's King. And she's speaking as, well, God's going to do it. But she's speaking as if he's already done it. Because when God says it's going to happen, it's as good as done. Which is just a precious little thing to remember as an aside. Anyway, I better get on to my third point because we've got to finish. So we've been seeing that God is mindful of her and indeed our humble estate, mighty in his acts to save and to overthrow. And finally, God is merciful in keeping his promise. Verse 54, he has helped his servant Israel, that's his people, in remembrance of his mercy as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. So God has remembered to be merciful. So that's our third M word, As I thought of this, I thought, well, there's a miracle. That's what we saw last week. The virgin birth, the conception, there's a miracle. Then there's this song of Mary. It's called the Magnificat in the Anglican prayer book, which is said, if you follow the prayer book, every Sunday night in church, we get up and that's what's said. So that's called the Magnificat. So that's two M's. And then we've had mindful and mighty and merciful. So we've got a lot of M's here. But God's mercy has been shown. And his mercy is shown in him remembering his promises. Now, when it says remembering, it's not like God forgot to be merciful. Oh, I better be merciful to these people. No. Through the Bible, where it says that God has remembered to do this, it's not that he forgot. It's what it's saying is, it's telling us God is about to act. God is about to act to be merciful. God is about to act to judge. And here, God is about to act in keeping with his promise to Abraham. What was his promise to Abraham? I'm going to give you a land. You will be my people. I'm going to make your name great. Through you, all the nations of the world will be blessed. It's, in short, it's God's people in God's place under God's rule. That's the promise to Abraham. Before then, they were scattered. You've got Genesis, gathered. Adam and Eve, sin, scattering, alienation. Angels barring the way back to the tree of life, gone. Out of God's presence. Oh yes, God is still in the world because God is in control. Oh yes, God still sends the rain on the just and the unjust. Yes, there are still blessings to be had. But sin has marred everything. But God comes to Abraham and makes a promise. A promise that will stand right through every age until the promise is ultimately fulfilled when we are in God's place as God's people for all time in the new creation. And God is remembering his promise to Abraham. What's he going to do? He's sending a deliverer, a rescuer. Jesus, the Son, the King. Jesus, God saves. That's what the word Jesus means. And Christ means God's King. King and Saviour. Here he is. God is remembering to be merciful in keeping with his promise to Abraham, so that through Abraham all of the nations of the world will be blessed. Guess what? That's me. That's you. We are God's people. He's been blessed to remember his covenant. He's been mindful of our lowly estate, and he has acted in great might at the cross of Jesus to provide the forgiveness of sins, the purification that we need, so that we could be right with God. The great reversal. There it is. Peter writes in 1 Peter 3:18 that Christ came, the just for the unjust, to bring us to God. It's that great reversal. And all of that is in keeping with God's promise to Abraham that through him, through his descendants, all of the nations of the world will be blessed. Why is there much made of the descendants of Jesus in the New Testament? It is to show us that, particularly in Matthew's Gospel, to show us that Jesus is of that line. Jesus is of that descendant. He is the fulfillment of the promises of God, the promise given to Abraham. And so we come to the end of the song of Mary, a song of praise to to the mindful, mighty, merciful God. Now this song is not just a song that Mary can sing, it's a song that we can all sing as God's people. Because if we are lowly before God, and if we come to Him, if we seek Jesus as our Saviour and rejoice in God our Saviour, as Mary does, we too take up the songbook and sing a song of great praise to God. For He has acted mightily. He has regarded our lowly estate. He has brought us into right relationship with Himself. And whatever trouble you might be going through, whatever past regrets you might have, whatever future fears you might be lurking in your heart, we know that we've come to this God of whom Mary sings, who has acted to bring us to Himself in great might. However, if because of our riches or our prestige or our pride, we reject the Saviour, we push the rescuer away because, well, we think our own pride, our own self-importance is more significant for us, then we regrettably will be brought low. We, as this song says, will be sent away empty, and regrettably we'll be sent away eternally empty. So I guess as we finish, I want to just ask, have we come to Jesus? Have you come to Jesus, the Saviour, the King, who has left beside and behind His riches to come into this world to serve you in humility to the point of death on the cross for you, to take your sin, your rebellion and mine, so that we could be restored with God, so that we could call God our friend, so that we can rejoice in God our Saviour, so that we can know His promises in the new creation. Have you received Jesus the King? Are you rejoicing? Are we rejoicing in God our Saviour, who's been mindful of our lowly and our humble estate before Him, who has acted to save and acted to bless? Well, let me pray for us as we finish. This is a prayer that is quite a few hundred years old, which I've just adapted a bit. Heavenly Father, we glorify and praise You for Your kindness in sending Your King and Saviour, born in humble circumstances, for the humble and the poor before You. Please fill us, we pray Thee, with Thy light and life, that we may show forth Thy wondrous glory. Please grant Thy love may so fill our lives that we may count nothing too small to do, nothing too much to give, and nothing too hard to bear for You. So teach us, Heavenly Father, to serve You as You deserve, to give and to not to count the cost, to fight and not to notice the wounds, to toil and to not to seek for rest, to labour and not to ask for any reward except for that of knowing that we have trusted in Your fatherly goodness. We thank You, Heavenly Father, that You've been mindful of our lowly estate before You. We thank You that You've been mighty in Your act to save us, to bring us from the pit of despair before You, to bring us into Your family. We thank You for Your love and for Your mercy in keeping with Your promises, that we would be Your people in Your place forevermore, under You, our loving Heavenly Father. Please grow us in appreciation and in joy in Your presence. We praise and glorify and magnify your holy name. Amen.